Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, the ongoing coronavirus pandemic poses a serious challenge not only to our health and economic well-being, but is also fundamentally changing how we think about home, work, and community. While nobody would choose to go through the crisis, social scientists, management professors, and psychologists around the world are watching closely, keen to investigate the effects of this enforced global experiment. Today we chat with Rajiv Keshab, Senior VP of Growth, Investment and Strategy at Hamlet, to get his views. Thanks for joining us today, Rajiv.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Hope you're keeping safe where you are, I imagine. Work from home, stuck in the home office, if you will.
As safe as I can be.
That's good to hear. So let's first talk about long-term effects on, say, business operations, and then later in life in general, because of home working right now.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, great question. Working from home is not a new concept for a lot of people around the world. I think the effects are different depending on what side of the coin you're looking at. So, for example, on the company side, it is really hard and takes a lot more of a focused effort to build company culture when a good portion of your team is working from home or working remotely, because all of the glue that the office and routine of the office provides suddenly disappears. And so it's generally harder to drive momentum in that regard. There's an old corporate adage, out of sight is out of mind. And while there's no evidence that remote working from a long-term standpoint could potentially be harmful, there's enough research to show that it does have negative impact on salaries. If you move over to the employee side, outside of feeling isolated, the long-term effects of working from home could just mean burnout and feeling a lack of being part of a community. You know, work just becomes work and devoid of much passion or emotion around what you're building, and more importantly, who you're building it with, especially since every conversation is planned or structured. I'm making, you know, generally large sweeping statements, but there's a ton of positives that come from working from home too, such as being more connected with your family, being able to switch on, switch off your schedule to a point that that's better for you, and maybe even getting a little bit of exercise. I think the key here is whether voluntarily or involuntarily, if you do find yourself working from home for long periods of time, I would recommend setting up boundaries, both physical distance from the rest of your home and how much time you put into the workday, because that could seep in very quickly. And then focus really on building bridges back to your workplace through different chat channels or regular catching up with colleagues and other departments in a more unstructured format.
Rajiv, you've only touched on impact on salary, this work from home experiment, as they're calling it. What about, say, productivity?
Yeah, so in terms of productivity, I think that will really depend on department by department. Some departments will, and some jobs and functions regularly lend themselves to work in isolation because they have solo contributors. Copywriting is a really good example of that. Potentially finance is another good example of that. And others require a lot more collaboration and contribution of all team members and really value that face time. And so I think productivity will suffer in ebbs and flows. And I think what you'll start to see is companies will move certain departments or certain types of folks into a more work from home setting because they can be solo contributors and contribute and keep productivity high, whereas others that really need to be collaborative and be in the office will probably or likely be in the office a lot more.
A lot's been said about how this new reality will not obviously look like how things were before, pre-COVID-19. How much do you think workforce sentiment needs to be taken into account as businesses decide whether or not remote working in some form is here to stay?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we have to remember work from home has already been around for a while and only been accelerated recently and brought to the forefront of our minds because everyone has had to do it in this global experiment.
And some people like it, some people don't.
Absolutely. And thus, there's this remarkable, you know, realization all over the world that it actually can be done, and it can be done in a sustainable way for the folks that absolutely do love it, right? You know, as I mentioned, I think it will vary by job function or by department, but I definitely feel in aggregate working from home is is here to stay. It may not be for a sustained weeks on end, but some mix of home plus office a few days a week, you know, may definitely turn into the norm. I know after this big experiment, I will be asking our CEO, Yuan, if I can work from home for at least 1 or 2 days a week going forward. But, you know, to your question, I think each employer should provide options to their staff so that they're happy and productive and can appropriately manage their workload. As at the end of the day, you probably wouldn't want to shift your employees and your employee base to remote work for short-term gains at the risk of long-term productivity and attrition losses. And so I think it's going to be very important, very critical to make sure that you have employee buy-in and employee sentiment buy-in into any decisions you make in terms of shifting of employee base or workforce. Each department would manage their own teams more effectively as opposed to employee-wide. And I think that way you get a much more nuanced program that allows folks to continue to be flexible while contributing to the wider mission.
We're speaking to Rajiv Kishap, who's Senior Vice President of Growth, Investment and Strategy at Hamlet. We've been hearing for tech-based companies, it's been easier to have their employees work from home. What's it been like for Hamlet? To some degree, you're a tech-based property company.
Absolutely. I mean, we went work from home overnight. And, as soon as the government, actually a few days before we learned that the government was asking folks to do that, we decided to do that on our own. I think the first few weeks were a little edgy as everyone tried to settle into their new routine and sort of build a new cadence around, you know, working and living and being productive. But effectively, I'd say 6 weeks in or 7 weeks in, I've lost count of how many weeks we've been doing this. It's actually been going really well. There's a really good cadence around, you know, how we engage and how we produce and deadlines and all of that. Everything is turned into a little bit more structure and is a lot more actionable. I think the one thing I miss is a lot of the unstructured conversations around the office, because I hop from video call to video call, you know, from 8 a.m. to like 8, 9 p.m., And every call has a purpose and it's structured and it's very, there's a mission to every single call. I miss a lot of the stuff in between the office or at lunch hour where you catch up on people's lives and that sort of glue that sort of keeps everybody together. So I'd say in aggregate, it's been fine. But in reality, I could go back to going to the office at least a couple of days a week.
Rajiv, talk to us about the impact on commercial real estate. Now that more people are working from home, there'll be some kind of downsizing, I'm sure, in terms of office space.
Yeah, that's a great question. Let me pull out my crystal ball here. right now, we are seeing two emerging schools of thought, right? Where people, once things normalize, we will need more space because of social distancing. So WeWork, Eric Schmidt, and a few others sit in that camp where people think we'll need more real estate. The second school of thought is that we'll actually see a contraction as corporates will look to downsize, encouraging employees to work from home or have more flexible arrangements for as long as they like. We've seen companies like Google, Facebook, and more recently Twitter, amongst others, sit in that camp, right? And so we take a point of view that companies will look to save costs by downsizing or looking for more flexible spaces. And what this means or translates to is that landlords who are used to sitting on 10-year commercial leases and enjoy steady-state cash flow will probably have to work harder to lease out their real estate for a lot shorter chunks of time, resulting in falling real estate prices in the short to medium term, for sure. I look at another trend, actually, to compare this to, which is the open office space trend, where we moved away from cubicles and corner offices to open space because we thought it would help productivity, only to find out that most folks actually hated working in an open office format. And so we could find out that companies may force employees to work from home and only to find them disengaged or not super passionate about the company that they work for, because they don't really get to engage. And then we all go back to working in the office or maybe working in smaller units of remote work. No matter what the driver is, I don't think it bodes too well for commercial real estate. And in our view, the only way that they could pivot is by retooling their operating model around pricing and flexibility. And you've already started to see this messaging sort of come about within, you know, circles in commercial real estate. Being surplus or excess or event space when you need to and where you need it, it will be very attractive to corporates as opposed to fixed long-term leases, I imagine, at least in the short to medium term.
Rajiv, what about the sector you're in? Hamlet is a co-living property tech company, if you will. How's it gearing up?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we are making a handful of assumptions as we go forward. A, people have enjoyed their time away and now appreciate or demand greater flexibility from their workplace. B, companies will look to downsize their real estate portfolio, mostly because of A. C, people will need to create more separation between home and work while never actually leaving their home, may even get a subsidy from their workplace to do this. And D, people will need to develop a greater sense of belonging and culture because they are remote. So if we take all of those assumptions, what I think it will mean for us is the following. We are now geared at Hamlet to do everything digital. We went from 15% digital viewings pre-COVID to 85% digital viewings quite literally overnight. We are building out all the layers of our technology for a seamless end-to-end experience for both our landlords and our members. We're redesigning a lot of our spaces to allow for more work from home, as well as our common areas to be more amazing experiences to create that separation between work and home. Obviously, some of these things we're doing is changing the deal structures for real estate we can take on to be a lot more flexible on the front end and on the back end. So I think all in, we've been thinking about this for a while, and we've been building on some of these pieces well before COVID came about. So we feel really confident about what comes next for us, at least from a product standpoint. And I'm pretty sure that if you look at the themes that I've talked about, most of the sector will likely follow in our footsteps.
What are the opportunities waiting to be seized?
There's quite a few, right? I mean, if you think about what we have ahead, by the end of quarter three, I reckon we will be the only living and lifestyle platform in Southeast Asia, if not the world, which will allow members to curate their own living experience end to end, and for landlords to have a portal which will unlock market-beating yields, all in 10 clicks or less, right? And so members will be able to view online, buy online, add or take furniture or services away from their room and get to a price point that is perfect for them for short or long-term living. And landlords will be able to manage and onboard their properties and manage their yields almost seamlessly. We've always thought that within real estate, all the transactions around renting units were incredibly inefficient. And so we've been on this journey well before COVID, and there's no stopping now. From a regional standpoint, we currently are in four countries, Singapore, Hong Kong, Japan, and Australia. And we'll likely go deeper in these countries this year, continuing to build out our platform offering and before we launch any newer countries. So I think those are the countries for this year. All in, we think within Southeast Asia, there's a ton of growth that could be unlocked. And so we're positioned well to capture that growth. For me personally, you know, Hamlet's been such a roller coaster since I joined the team last year, but I'm incredibly excited with what the team is building here and launching over the next couple of months, with specifically on the technology and digital side. And hopefully I get to come back to you guys and show you how you can find your next home.
Onward and upward. Thanks so much for joining us today. Rajiv Kishap, Senior Vice President of Growth, Investment and Strategy at Hamlet. Rajiv, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.